Jonathan Edwards concerning God's moral government, a future state, and the immortality of the soul. The creator of the world is doubtless also the governor of it. He that had power to give being to the world, and to set all the parts of it in order, his doubtless power to dispose of the world, to continue the order he has constituted, or to alter it. He that first gave the laws of nature must have all nature in his hands, that it is evident God has a world in his hands to dispose of as he pleases, and, as God is able, so he is inclined to govern the world. For as he is an intelligent being, he has had some end in what he did. Otherwise, he did not act as a voluntary agent in making the world. A being never acts voluntarily that has no end in what he does, and aims at nothing at all in it. Neither God nor man is properly said to make anything that necessarily or accidentally proceeds from them, but that only which is voluntarily produced. Besides, we see in the particular parts of the world that God has a particular end in their formation. They are fitted for such an end, by which it appears that the Creator did act as a voluntary agent, proposing final causes in the work of creation, and that he made the particular parts for certain ends, doubtless made the whole for a certain end. And if God made the world for some end, doubtless, he will choose to have this world disposed of to answer that end, for his proposing the end supposes that he chooses it should be obtained. Therefore it follows that God will choose to take care that the world be disposed of to the obtaining of his own ends, which is the same thing as his choosing to have the government of the world. And it is manifest, in fact, that God is not careless how the affairs and concerns of the world he has made proceed. Because he was not careless of this manner in the creation itself, as it is apparent by the manner and order in which things were created, that God, in creating, took care of the future progress and state of things in the world, this being established. I now proceed to show that it must be that God maintains a moral government over the world of mankind. Number 2, if it be certain that God is concerned, and does take care how things proceed in the state of the world he has made, that he will especially be concerned how things proceed in the state of world of mankind. Mankind are the principal parts of the visible creation. They have understanding, are voluntary agents, and can produce works of their own will, design, and contrivance as God does. And the Creator looks upon them as the principal part of his visible creation, as is manifest, because he has set them at the head of his creation. The world is evidently made to be a habitation for man, and all things about him are subordinated to his use. Now, if God be careful how the world that he has made be regulated, that its end may be answered, and that it may not be in vain, he will be especially careful of this concerning the principal part of it, and in the same proportion that it is principal or superior in his own account to the rest. The more God has respect to any part of the world he has made, the more concerned he will be about the state of that part. But it is manifest by the creation itself that God has more respect or regard to man than to any other part of the visible creation, because he has evidently made and fitted other parts to man's use. And therefore God will not leave the world of mankind to themselves without taking any care to govern and order their state. It is evident, by the manner in which God has formed and constituted other things, that he has respect to beauty, good order and regulation, proportion and harmony. So in the system of the world, in the seasons of the year, in the formation of plants, and of the various parts of the human body, surely, therefore, he will not leave the principal part of the creation about the state of which he is evidently, in fact, chiefly concerned, without making any proper provision for its being, any other than a state of deformity, discord, and the most hateful and dreadful confusion. Number 3. By what has been already said, God is most concerned about the state and government of that which is highest in his creation, and which he values most. And so he is principally concerned about the ordering the state of mankind, which is a part of the creation that he has made superior, and that he values most, and therefore in like manner it follows that he is principally concerned about the regulation of that which he values most in men, namely, what appertains to his intelligence and voluntary acts. If there be anything in the principal part of the creation that the Creator values more than other parts, it must be that wherein it is above them, or at least something wherein it differs from them. But the only thing wherein men differ from the inferior creation is intelligent perception and action. This is that in which the Creator has made man to differ from the rest of the creation, by which he has set him over it, and by which he governs the inferior creatures and useth them for himself. And therefore it must needs be that the Creator should be chiefly concerned that the state of mankind should be regulated according to his will, with respect to what appertains to him as an intelligent, voluntary creature. Hence it must be that God does take care that a good moral government should be maintained over men, that its intelligent, voluntary acts should be all subject to rules, and that with respect to them all, he should be the subject of judicial proceeding. For unless this be, there is no care taken that the state of mankind with respect to their intelligent voluntary acts should be regulated at all. But all things will be remedilessly in the utmost deformity, confusion, and ruin. The world of mankind, instead of being superior, will be the worse and the more hateful and the more vile and miserable, for having the faculties of reason and will. And this higher part of the creation will be the lowest, and infinitely the most confused, deformed, and detestable, without any provision for rectifying its evils. The God of order, peace, and harmony that constituted the inferior parts of the world, which he has subjected to man, and made subservient to him, and such decency, beauty, and harmony will appear to have left his chief part of his work, in the end of all the rest, to the reign of everlasting discord, confusion, and ruin, contradicting and conflicting with its own nature and faculties, having reason, and yet acting in all things contradictory to it, being men, but yet beasts, setting sense above reason, and proving reason only as a weapon of mischief and destruction of God's workmanship. Number 4. I would again argue that God must maintain a moral government over mankind thus. It is evident that it was agreeable to the Creator's design that there should be some moral government maintained amongst men, because without any either in nations, provinces, towns, or families, and also without any divine government over the whole, the world of mankind could not subsist, but would destroy itself. Men would be not only much more destructive to each other than any kind of animals are to their own species, but 1,000 times more than any kind of beasts are to those of any other species. Therefore, the nature that God has given all mankind, and the circumstances in which he has placed him, lead all in all ages throughout the habitable world into moral government. And the Creator doubtless intended this for the preservation of this highest species of creatures. Otherwise he has made much less provision for the defense and preservation of this species than of any other. There is no kind of creature that he has left without proper means for its own preservation. But unless man's own reason to be improved in moral rule and order be the means he has provided for the preservation of man, he has provided him with no means at all. Therefore, it is doubtless the original design of the Creator that there should be moral subordination amongst men, and that he designed there should be heads, princes, or governors, to whom honor, subjection, and obedience should be paid. Now, this strongly argues that the Creator himself will maintain a moral government over the whole, for without this, the preservation of the species is but very imperfectly provided for. If men have nothing but human government to be a restraint upon their lusts, and have no ruler judgment of a universal omniscient governor to be a restraint upon their consciences, still they are left in a most woeful condition, and the preservation and common benefit of the species according to its necessities and the exigencies of its place, nature, and circumstances in the creation is in no wise provided for, as the preservation and necessities of other species are. Now, is it reasonable to think that the Creator would so constitute the circumstances of mankind that some particular persons that have only a little image and shadow of His greatness and power over men should exercise it in giving forth edicts, executing judgment, and that He who is above all and the original of all should exercise no power in this way Himself, when mankind stand in so much more need of such an exercise of His power than of the human power of human governors? He has infinitely the greatest right to exercise the power of a moral governor if He pleases. His relation to man as His Creator most naturally leads to it. 5. It is manifest that the Creator of the world, in constituting human governor, is infinitely the best qualifications of a governor, being infinitely wise, powerful, and holy, and his government will infinitely be most effectual to answer the ends of government.